Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello everyone, welcome to Redmen TV and welcome to the Around the League podcast. Today with me, Ross Chanley, joined by Bailey.
Hello.
Because birthday boy Ben is busy.
With his birthday?
Birthday
wow.
Boy Ben is busy, yeah. It's his birthday and he's got some uni thing on, so he's not bothered to. Apparently uni's more important.
Priorities are all over the place, aren't they? Even around Christmas as
well. No, he's going to fail. That's how he gets his third, isn't it? By going to uni. And not uni. No, not going to uni. Anyway, usual start. Last time it was Bailey's brain teaser.
Yeah, this one actually
worked. A lot of alliteration so far today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now it's Lauren's brain teaser.
Yeah.
Got nothing.
So, the first one is, what has to be broken before it can be used?
Silence.
Shit. Well, good answer though. Yeah. A fire alarm.
Oh, that's a really good shit. That's like unorthodox.
Yeah. We'll come back to that then.
A promise?
No. Oh.
A hymen?
No.
Okay, too far. Might have to cut that out.
Explicit.
Just say it, Amy.
Of course you were.
We were on the same level at some point there, thinking outside the box.
It's a food.
Oh, fuck. I feel stupid.
Coconut?
No.
It has to be broken before it can be used.
Yeah.
An egg?
Yeah.
Do
you want
another one?
No.
No, I want another one, Ross. I'm disappointed.
Okay, though. Go on then.
Jimmy's mother had three children.
Oh, no. What have
the
I got myself into?
The first was called April. The second was called May. What was the name of the third?
Wait, read the, what was the first part?
Jimmy's mother had three children. The first was called...
Jimmy?
Yeah.
See, just make sure we never get her on the podcast, because this will be a 30-minute segment.
Third and final one, then we'll discuss around the league.
Yeah.
That's what the podcast is called.
What begins with T, ends with T, and has T in it?
I nearly said...
Teat.
I was going to say twat, but... Well, I have no idea. My mind's not working today.
Yeah,
mind blown.
Yeah, go on. You've done what you've meant to do, and you've blown our minds.
Yeah.
So please enlighten us.
Yeah.
A teapot.
What have we got? This is like the worst live studio audience you could ever ask for.
Right, around the league, Bailey.
Yes.
We will go through the results in a second.
No problem.
But unfortunately, something happened on Saturday tea time, and I don't think you can go unnoticed. It's been everywhere in the media.
Yeah.
That is, of course, the Raheem Sterling incident. So, first of all, I think we can all agree in this room that it's an absolute disgrace what happened. You don't have to be a professional lip reader to work out what the prick said.
Yeah.
My thoughts on this are Chelsea need to make an example out of that person.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's in their remit or what they can do bar banning him. And you can't tar a whole fan base with that, but they've obviously got previous Chelsea that have done it before.
I remember that. I said, comes to mind the train situation.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
In Paris when they were pushing that guy off there. And again, we know it's not every Chelsea fan. What do you think needs to be done to prevent this, and can it be prevented?
I'm sick of the whole, I'll give them a lifetime ban, blah, 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 kick them out of football, because it's deeper than that, isn't it? If you can go to a game and set that, it wasn't just one man, was it? It was five or six.
He's been highlighted.
This one man that was highlighted, obviously, you can stand 10 yards away from someone and scream that much abuse at someone. It goes deeper than just football at that point. It's, you've got clearly some agenda or something wrong with you that needs to be addressed, whether that be by the police, whether it be by the hospital, because to have that ingrained in your head as that's your go-to put somebody off, and that is just your natural sort of...
So it's just your mindset.
Yeah. It's banning someone from football, it's football needs to stand for more than that, because it's not, like I said, it's not... This doesn't revolve around football. This is an issue that's happening with Raheem Sterling repeatedly now, and black players in football in general now. And I think if Chelsea, because they're with somebody, a team that's got a history for it, which is a shame, but for them to really put their foot down and set an example now and maybe go further than a ban, I think that could be massive for the Premier League and just football in general.
Yeah, but that fella is so ignorant and so thick. Yeah. He's on the front row. Sterling's right in front of him.
Plain as day, cameras on him.
Yeah, exactly. How the fuck are you not going to recognise what's going on? But like I said, that's his attitude and that's his mindset.
Yeah.
He obviously doesn't care, and that's what his thoughts are. Never mind what he's actually said.
Yeah.
To be that open about it, I think it's completely disgusting. Yeah. You alluded to it there about Raheem Sterling. I put on the notes, poor Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
There was a comment or a tweet that was put out by someone that said, you know, this was all started by Liverpool fans and stuff, and I can, like... Yeah. Again, you can't tar every fan base or whatever. Every fan in a fan base.
Mm-hmm.
But I was pissed off with Sterling when he left, because I'll be honest, I was bitter and pissed off that he chose to go to Man City, given the platform he was given at Liverpool, the quality player that he was, and he kind of, in my mindset, probably being quite naive about it, thought he's going to go and chase money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he clearly hasn't, because he's improved as a footballer, even like since last season alone. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
He's probably a what's the word I'm looking for? A star for so many kids.
Oh, an icon. So
an icon for kids, an icon for where he's come from, his background, what he's done for his family, even for the minority of black people.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he gets shot down by the media. So first of all, has this been started by Liverpool fans, do you think?
It's ridiculous. I mean, you look at Like you've said, Ross. I mean, it's anything that can happen. I mean, we were in a time where we'd lost Suarez. Sterling was our sort of last big hope player, and City come in. They've got the money. They offered 50, and he took it. And at that time, it was harder to take Drew because of the things that had happened prior to the summer. But it was football. Yeah. Again, this is where I'm trying to tie the line between football and bigger than football.
Yeah.
And that was purely, you see a player go to a rival, because we knew he'd probably kick on. I mean, he was doing really well there. It took him a while, but since Guardiola's come in, his ceiling's massive.
Yeah.
He's been fantastic. But you then look at sort of the difference between Sterling leaving a football club, and then Sterling then, for some reason, being portrayed by the media as just... I don't know what it is. It's like a scapegoat almost. Yeah. It's like he's literally hounded for... It's 2 years now, going on 2 years. I mean, there was a thread on Twitter, and it was literally pulling up every single thing that Raheem Sterling had done, from going out for breakfast after player awards, and any time that the media can get an article out about Sterling, they will.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting. And I generally feel for Sterling, because I mean, when we're in the stadium, we're playing City. Sterling gets jeers to put him off, because we know how good he is.
That's nothing to do with his race. That's the fact that he's next footballer circumstance. He left of people being bitter, but that's part of football.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think we genuinely know how good he is. Like you see him against teams like Arsenal, teams like, well, not Chelsea, but it's Tottenham. He can tear teams apart on his own.
Yeah.
And we know that. We've seen it firsthand what he's done for us. And I think having that as leverage, as just a purely football perspective of just trying to put someone off their footballing game, that's where the difference is.
Yeah.
And to try and tie Liverpool fans as sort of the perpetuators for something like this is disgusting.
No, when in fact the actual perpetuators are the media. Mainstream media.
Yep.
The mainstream media in this country is a fucking disgrace. Yep. You made several comments there about stuff that's happened before of man eats breakfast, who gives a shit?
Yep.
Man gets a gun on his tattoo, a gun tattoo on his leg, who gives a shit?
Yep.
He's bought a house, he's done so much, and the stuff that doesn't get covered of... or does get little coverage compared to that is stuff that he does for the community, because
charity.
He does do stuff and he has to do stuff as part of his club, does not get covered in the same extent that clickbait shite gets for newspapers, because they're desperate for the clicks.
Yep.
It's bullshit. I feel so sorry for him, and the final point in there was I don't know how he's ignored that, and I'm not sure that's been pointed out of literally where you are.
Yeah,
if someone had said something on that offensive level to you,
yeah,
to have the...
The restraint.
Yeah, the restraint, the mindset to just carry on playing football. I think he might have even smiled and laughed.
He did, yeah.
Because, oh, I don't know what else he's supposed to do, because if he does something else, he's obviously going to get himself into shit. Yeah. But, like...
It's horrible, because you almost want to say it was immensely professional, and that's disgusting to have to say that about a footballer. The way that he just has to accept sometimes that if you are of that race, then...
In 2018, fucking bullshit.
Yeah, in 2018, you have to deal with that in football, and that's again, to come back to the point between football and bigger than football, is you shouldn't be a player, and you shouldn't be thinking in your head, right, well, I can't react here, I can't kick out, because it would look negatively on me, it'll look negatively on my team, and inevitably, if he kicks out about that, that's what the media will cover.
Oh, yeah, it'll be his blame, yeah.
It'll be him kicking out. Raheem Sterling can't control himself after claims, and the people won't be looked into. But the fact he's kept his head, and he's been really professional. He came out on Instagram and made a really, really nice professional comment about it that I think a lot of people...
Which has been quoted by the same newspapers that fucking slagged him off for having some fucking breakfast as well.
Yeah, biggest hypocrites going, mate. And it's at this point now where the media aren't going to back him. So the football club has to put their foot down, and they need to say, look...
Do you think that's a football club, Premier League, need to come together to do something?
I miss massively. I mean, if you really want, I mean, it's happened with us, with Brewster, and I'm sure it's happened with countless other teams in the league. You've got to accept that such a big majority of this Premier League is of international players.
Yeah.
And if you can't accept that, then why do you support your team?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, football is bigger than race. And unless clubs can band together, like if they can come together and give Richard Scudamore $250,000 in a collective, they can come together and put their heads together and say, look, we need to do something about this problem. And the sooner it's fixed, the better, because it's something that in 2018 needs to go.
The other baffling thing for me is that this fella has said what he said, and obviously, no, I'm not going to repeat it.
Yeah.
But there was a black fella stood five seats away from him. There's a black Chelsea players, for fuck's sake.
The best player in N'Golo Kante. And it's like, you
wouldn't do it to him, would you?
No. And it's like you say, it goes back to that instinctive... When you're 10 yards away from someone, what's the first thing that comes to your mind to put somebody off?
I'm all for calling someone a fucking knobhead when they're in front of me, but that's just a completely different level to go and do that. So,
it's disgusting.
I personally don't know. You can stamp it out.
It comes to a point where you have the Say No to Racism and Kick Racism Out of Football movement. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
But then there's a difference between all talk and no action. And it's the football clubs. It's... The players
they need to be seen to do something, but it shouldn't take, or like, no, obviously not going to listen to this conversation, but it shouldn't take public view to go, that's not right, we need to do something about this.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it's the point now where the only people that really, the media aren't going to listen. I mean, they flip-flop between slating Sterling and taking Sterling's side, and it's the side of, we can't trust the media, we can't trust, the players themselves can't do it on their own.
No.
And the fans are behind this entire movement. They always have been. Mm. But it's now the only middleman that's left is the clubs to fully come together and say, look, this has to stop. And if it doesn't, then more than a ban needs to occur. Yeah. Because it's happened for countless years now, and it's clearly not working.
No.
So we need to go.
And some of the Chelsea fans as well. I'm pretty sure if I heard someone next to me say that, I'm either saying something to him, or I'm going to go find the nearest student. That sounds like a grass, then I don't give a... Don't really care, because there's no place for that.
No, it's really not. Like I say, and it's the fact that, you say you alluded to the fact that there was a guy that was five seats down from him that was black, and it's sort of like, if you can sit there that calmly, it makes you wonder how often does this occur?
Yeah.
How whether their groups are
friends. That's why Sterling's reacted the way that he's done, because he must get it week in, week out.
Yeah. And it's like, it's Chelsea have sort of thought, they've had their hand forced here, because, I mean, when you've got... The training situation, that's an isolated group of fans that you can say, that's not us. That doesn't represent Chelsea as a... That doesn't represent Chelsea as a brand. Mm. This is people in your stadium, in the place that you are supposed to represent your footballing community. And by you not taking a step forward, more than just a ban, and saying, look, this is the last time we're getting done for this. This is the last time we should be negatively associated with this sort of an issue. Otherwise, Chelsea, in my eyes, are going to hold this negative sort of persona that they've generated for themselves over the last number of years. And it's really sad. And I really hope that we see something, A, for Sterling, and I hope he gets some sort of, well, it's not the word reward, but
Recognition.
Yeah. That's the one. So for coming out and saying, look, doing it the mature way, in the way that he shouldn't have to do, but he's forced to do as a footballer, and then hopefully we can move on from this and hopefully get somewhere in football that we never see an incident like this again.
There was an incident the other week, wasn't there? Was it Arsenal when someone
banana threw was thrown at Aubameyang? Yeah, like, and this is within a week apart.
Yeah. It's disgraceful. Like you said, credit to Raheem Sterling. It's just a real shame. It also highlights the actual positive thing for social media, and not the incident itself, but the fact that it went viral and everyone's seen it has highlighted what an actual disgrace it is. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So credit to Raheem Sterling. So we'll move on. Results we'll go through.
Yep, cool.
Liverpool 4, Bournemouth 0.
Look at that, right at the top.
Arsenal win again. They're in a fine form. I have on the agenda just split off and put the table underneath, so Ben doesn't do this shit, does he?
No, he really doesn't.
Burnley finally won a game as well, Brighton Hove Albion. I've got a mate who's a Burnley fan and he's dashed out for some reason.
Oh really?
Cardiff 1, Southampton 0, Southampton are shit.
Yep.
Man United 4, Fulham 1, which we'll come to in a second, is our next one. West Ham 3, Crystal Palace 2, Chelsea 2, Man City 0, and Leicester 0, Tottenham 2.
Yes.
Gonna start with Man United. I don't know what you saw from the weekend.
Yeah, I saw most of the game.
They played decent football. They scored more than one goal. They looked like they wanted to attack the goal. Mark Goldbridge lost his shit.
It's so hard to not be sort of patriotic about this, isn't it? Because it's talking about Man United, like you should talk about Man United, but so far away from what Man United are. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? And I mean, they played. Lukaku scored, which is the first shot.
That's how shit Fulham are.
Yeah, I mean. Did you see it for his goal?
Yeah.
I mean, he drags, the ball comes out wide, cuts the ball back in the box, and the Lukaku and three other players have broken their line before they've even seen the ball come in.
Yeah.
The Fulham can't defend categorically.
No.
But no, I think United played a really good football. Ashley Young's first goal was brilliant.
First goal at Old Trafford for over 2 years.
Wow. Yeah. Look at that.
That's how bad Fulham are.
I think every point we make, we need to reiterate how bad Fulham are.
Well, they conceded a lot of goals, Fulham, the most in the league so far, the bottom of the table, they're struggling, which kind of highlights that it's not that good a win for Manchester United, or is it? Or is it something they need? Because, again...
It was Ranieri's... Like, Ranieri and Mourinho have got a bit of a spat sort of thing, don't they?
Oh, have they?
Yeah, they
have. Minus 24 goal difference they're on.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Nine points. What's the spat?
I mean, they've had... Since he's been at Leicester, I think they've had a little bit of a... I think it goes back to when their manager's back in Spain. But I know they've got a bit of a mini feud that gets sort of built up.
And so Mourinho was pumped for this one.
Yeah, and to be honest, it was a case of, for me, why matter? Like, I think him coming into that team, I've got a lot of friends that are big United fans, and they...
They've got a lot of midfielders, haven't they? And you don't hear anything of... who's the fellow they bought in summer? Fred?
Yeah.
He's bought to unlock Pogba. He wasn't he? That's the thing. He's like, you don't see him playing. Everyone's like jizzing when he signed. Yeah. Like, I don't hear his name. I don't hear Alexis Sanchez week in, week out like he used to when he was at Arsenal.
Yeah.
Lukaku for £90 million. Like, I'm pretty sure he tried to pass the ball back to someone else, but it ended up in the goal.
Yeah, it's a
myth. Me and Ben had this conversation for weeks of where Manchester United are at. And if it, again, just going back to the table, they are sixth. 8 points behind fifth place.
They're doing well in this little mini league between Everton and Bournemouth and Leicester, aren't they? They're top in that.
Everton are playing tonight, so they might even end up seventh later on tonight. So
it's just nice. I can just sit here and look at that for a long
time.
That's
the thing, right? I'm a fan of Goldbridge.
Yeah.
Guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Two things that he said is, don't be deceived. We've just played Fulham, who are shit. So don't get carried away. And before that, he said, I'm looking at the Everton and Bournemouth results or fixtures every week to see if he can get up to sixth. Sums up where Manchester United are at the minute.
I said this, so after our stunning 4-0 victory at Bournemouth, Mo Salah got a hat-trick.
Yep.
I said to my friends, because I live in a house in first year and second year with me, myself, and two massive United fans. So,
what a shame.
Actually, it was a shame, but this season's been brilliant. I literally said to them... I feel like I can't come into this group chat anymore and gloat because I feel sorry for you all. And literally said, it has literally become a case of we'll leapfrog Bournemouth now because they are literally focused on this mini league. That is their level this season. Mm. And it's crazy, isn't it? And that's what I mean. It's come to the point with me as a Liverpool fan that I don't get a rise out of them anymore because they're just accepted defeat.
Yeah. They turned into basically what Liverpool were in the 90s, and they're thinking, yeah, like, I don't know, Mourinho's talking about getting fourth place, and like, I don't see any signs.
No.
Only because, well, the way that they're playing, Everton are playing decent football at the minute, and then you look at Arsenal, Chelsea, Spurs, City and us.
But there's no way that, I don't think they'll get sixth, let alone fourth, no, mate. I think the way Everton are playing, I mean, credit to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it pains me to say, but when we saw them, it'll be interesting to see them at Anfield, obviously having the two comparisons a couple of weeks apart, but Everton gave us a really good game.
Yeah.
I mean, if United can come there and do the same, but it's a different style of story, isn't it, when you've got, when it's a Liverpool United derby, the sort of
form goes out the window, yeah, doesn't it? Yeah, we're going to come on to that in a bit. Where do you sit with the Mourinho debate then? Because there's more rumours at the weekend that he was getting replaced. I'm not sure where from. I don't know. I haven't made it up because I did see it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was some debate around his pay packet. So we just discussed there about them getting top four.
Mm-hmm.
Would you get rid of him now? Change the atmosphere around the club, around him, and get someone else in and take the hit? Mm. Or would you risk finishing sixth or seventh and getting rid of him in the summer? Or the other debate was, I think I might even be on fucking TalkSport, so forgive me for watching that.
Mm-hmm.
Pogba is the other debate, and Pogba seems to be the big problem in the dressing room or between Mourinho and Pogba, and the egos are clashing. He's having these little digs in press conferences, and everyone's going, that's aimed at Pogba.
Yeah. Mourinho, for me, I think he's bad news. I mean, it's literally the same group chat that my United fans are in, and I think it was after their last Champions League defeat, and there he comes into the group chat and he's like, I'm done, like, I'm officially, I've backed the manager for so long now, and I can't deal with this performance anymore, because I think it was the game that he threw the bottles at the floor.
Okay, yeah.
So, and he was like, the persona that he brings around the club is baffling. Like, he doesn't know whether to stick up for his players, doesn't know whether to have a go at his players in the press. He doesn't know. I don't think the guy knows himself where his head's at.
No.
I think he
doesn't know his best team either.
He doesn't know how to play football anymore. He's 10 years out of date, that guy.
Yeah.
And he's literally looking at himself and he's going, right, well, I could play really badly and get a payout, or I can try and do really well and get a contract extension and try and get the team back into where they're going. But the team is lost.
Yeah.
Like, it's to the point now where it could literally go either way. But for me, I said to my friends, this was about 8 weeks ago, that they should have got rid then. I mean, you either get rid early, give someone time to assess the squad, maybe replace in January if they've got the backing of the Glazers.
Fulham have done.
Yeah, like Fulham have done. But now you're going, if you're debating getting rid now, so close to January, you're giving this new guy no time to assess his team. He could come in, say you get a Zidane,
yeah,
for manager's sake, and he comes in and he's like, what are you doing here? You're playing Pogba as a DM, you're playing Sanchez as a left wing forward. He should be up here, he should be here. And you don't even have to buy anyone.
Yeah.
Because the team's fine, it's just not been utilised properly. So it's
the mentality and the psychology behind Mourinho,
which I'm pretty sure
we do this every week. I used to have so much respect for the guy when he was like first at Chelsea, and they had an influx of money and stuff, but he was winning stuff. And he went into Milan, well, Porto won stuff, Chelsea won stuff, Inter Milan won stuff, Real Madrid won stuff, and you're thinking, Jesus Christ, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Now, and I don't know if it's exacerbated because of the way Jurgen Klopp is in conferences with his players, you can see it on the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a stark contrast between someone who's dead happy and some miserable fuck. Yeah. You're thinking, if I was working for him, it would affect the way that I do my work. And he's throwing people under the bus left, right and centre, which brings it back to the Pogba thing of, I believe he didn't want Pogba.
Didn't, or he did?
Didn't.
Okay.
I think that Pogba was just a massive PR.
Marketing, sort of.
Yeah.
Get the money in, get the Adidas sponsors.
Yeah. To sell shirts, get young kids coming in to come and watch the games because they want to see Pogba because he's the icon, he's the image for modern football because that's what he was at the time.
Yep.
He was brilliant for France in the World Cup and the Euros and whatever. Yeah. And he's like the go-to image. And then there was the I've said this a few times now, but the Liverpool-Man United game when it was at Old Trafford. And around the electric boards, they had the hashtag Pogba and the Pogba emoji. And you're thinking, it's the biggest game in world football, in my opinion.
Yep.
It's up for debate.
Yep.
And you've centred it round.
One man,
a fucking haircut or whatever. And I have no doubt that he's got the ability, but he's being restricted to what he can do at Man United, to what he was doing at Juventus.
Yeah.
And they've just gone, we'll get like shitloads of money for him. And
no.
That's where Man United are at now, in my mind.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it's a massive point, isn't it? I think that's... I think part and parcel of Manchester United. I mean, they're not. We don't tar Manchester United and Manchester City with the same brush monetarily, but they're both on a similar wavelength in terms of funds available.
Mm. But Man United have earned their money. You can respect them for that.
That's the point I'm making. So they do it. At least they do it legitimately. Yeah. So at least
get Ben started.
But no, so say, so they bring a Pogba in for a marketing purpose, they will sell a ton of shirts. They bring Ibrahimovic in, they'll sell a ton of shirts. Yeah. Lukaku will sell shirts. I mean, going back to even like your Schweinsteigers, your Di Marias, they will bring names in that, even if they don't fit the system, they'll make the money back on them whether they play well or not.
Alexis Sanchez, probably another one.
Exactly, it's Alexis Sanchez. It's, the way that club is run is brilliant in terms of a marketing, a PR exercise, like you've just said. The way it's run in a football perspective is terrible because, I mean, you've got the Glazers and, I forget the guy that said their transfers. That's the one, and that want one thing. Mm. You've got Mourinho that wants one thing, and the team probably wants somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, and I mean, the fans want the same thing.
Yeah. And the fans are up shit creek. What do they want? Yeah. Like, they're all. You look on Twitter, it's Mourinho out. It's gone Wenger all over again. Yeah. It's a club divided, fighting over their own club. It's mental, and for me, it's much deeper than Pogba. Because I mean, you look at you could go through that team and go like, well, they all probably play at an average of a 5, and then you look at the ceilings and it's sort of like, well, Pogba will play between a 5 and a 9 every week, and then Lukaku will probably play, well, I discount in the last few games, between a 4 and an 8, and then you've got players like Sanchez that will play between a 4 and a 6.
I don't know if Sanchez gets a game half the time. No, that's the problem.
But it's in terms of that's their ceiling should be here. Mm. And they've come into a system that I think is archaic, and I think that's Mourinho's biggest criticism. I think all of football know that. Like say, you go back to 2008 Mourinho, between 2004 and 2008 Mourinho, when his team was the team. Mm. I used to hate going to play Chelsea because you knew you'd be lucky to score, let alone win. When he had that Czech Aspilicueta sort of Aspilicueta Czech, who's the right back that was really good?
No idea.
Whose name? I really liked him, but
Jeremy.
Czech Jeremy Bob. Brendan.
Yeah.
No. So, but it went back when he had
Jeremy
that.
Jeremy was a fucking footballer. He was at Real Madrid, then went to Chelsea, and he was at right back.
No, Ivanovic.
Okay.
Ivanovic is a guy on my
I'm going way back.
Yeah. Okay. No. So when it was Ivanovic, Terry, sort of that, Ashley Cole, that awesome defence that everybody knew that was sort of impassable. And his defensive football worked.
Yeah.
Because that's the way football was then. You built from the back and you went on with there. Modern football is the opposite. I mean, they've got the market and the PR perfect. They do it better than anyone else.
Yeah.
The football hasn't followed.
Yeah.
And I mean, you look at Guardiola, you look at Klopp, you look at Sarri, you look at Pochettino, all of them play fluid, attacking football.
And look where they are in the league.
And look what... Yeah. Speaks for itself. And then you look at a man that's got the players, mm-hmm. doesn't know how to use his players.
No.
I mean, you can argue, he needs a centre-back desperately. But when you're playing Lindelof, Matic, well, centre-backs.
He bought Lindelof and he bought Eric Bailly.
Yeah, and he's waiting shipping Bailly out.
Yeah, and but then he used him as a scapegoat when he don't have a good game, but then he also doesn't develop youth either. I know he's got Scott McTominay in there who keeps rewarding like the best player that they've got.
Because it's sort of a reward for himself,
credit,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. He could take credit for himself when it goes good.
Yeah. You could literally talk about United for ages.
I'm pretty sure we do this every week.
It's a literal Pandora's box.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Right, well, fuck them then. It's their own fault. It's actually...
Feed them rice.
Yeah. Should look at this through, not through red tinted glasses,
Let's
but
you
it.
Know.
But yeah. Is there a title challenge on Bayley? It can't go unnoticed. There's a new team at the top of the table. Lauren, do you know who it is?
Some random team.
Yeah.
I think they're playing. They're in Merseyside.
Mm. Well, it won't be Everton.
No, it won't be Everton because they lost to the other team from Merseyside.
Yeah.
I think it's Liverpool.
Right? Oh, shit, it is, yeah. Yeah, Liverpool are top of the league. We're all very happy in here.
Yep.
I did try to do that without rented glasses, but yeah, fuck it. it'll be fine. Bar Liverpool, and it doesn't get discussed enough because everyone keeps talking about Liverpool Man City, and I don't think, in the context of things, there's Spurs, Chelsea, Arsenal that are that far behind.
Nope.
7 points in the grand scheme of things, well, 8 points even,
mm-hmm.
is not a lot. Given mm-hmm. that there's so many fixtures between now and, say, January, or yep. to the first week in January, that could easily turn around. Liverpool have gained 9 points in a week.
Yep. Massive.
So we're nearly halfway through the season, so I want to break it down to... Okay. Actually, no, we'll just do the title for now.
Okay.
Who in your mind now, because you start to get a shape for what competitions people are in, the state of the squads... Who do you think is in the conversation? Is it just Liverpool City, or is there more to it than that? Because in my mind, I'll just throw this at you.
Yeah, go for it.
Chelsea, that most of that Chelsea squad won the title.
Yep.
Two seasons ago.
Yep.
And they've got a decent manager. Yeah, two seasons ago. So they've got a decent manager. They've got the players there. They've got the mindset, the mentality, everything there, because they are champions.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, they're easily in that conversation. Maybe not Spurs, not so much, because... they didn't reinforce in the summer, but I'd be interested to see what you think.
It's mental for me because this is exactly how I'd love the league to pan out, because you go back, I'm so tired of it being like the last season was just boring. It was so boring.
It was done by now, wasn't it?
It was done, and I wasn't interested in watching any football. I mean, we were the only teams that beat City, so it was like we watch us anyway, so there was no extra joy from watching anybody else. And I mean, like you said, I think Chelsea... I think they come under fire, because I mean did they lose in the week?
They beat City.
Yeah, no, not
oh, in City, the week, yeah, they lost to Wolves, didn't they?
They lost to Wolves. So that's the thing with Chelsea. I think that they are suffering the Liverpool two season ago syndrome, where they can smash top six.
Yeah,
comes towards a lower team, and not to discredit Wolves, by the way. I think Wolves are a fantastic team. I think that they are massive underdogs in the league, and I really like the way they play football. But it's still that. Dropping down to the bottom 14 teams, that's where you put your points up in a title race.
Yeah,
and we were masters of it. Come 2-3 seasons ago, when we had Coutinho, we had the best sort of top six dual record.
Yeah,
what did he get? Got just about top four.
Yeah,
so it's a whole. Yeah, it's fine if you want to be a sort of a giant killer and take it on City, but then it's you've got to have the results consistently elsewhere. And I think that's where Spurs struggle. I think they struggle. In the Champions League that they've shown, I think they've struggled.
They've got a tough group, to be fair.
They have got a tough group, and I think, I mean, they've got Barca at home, haven't they?
Yeah.
Barca away, Newcastle. Yeah. Spurs, I think, are going to find it the most difficult. Not because I don't think they've got. I think their depth in squad has always been an issue, but that's been the case for 3 years now. I mean, you can't keep harping back to them saying.
I know, but they didn't buy anyone this summer, did they? Whereas before, they bought like Sanchez and.
They bought Lucas Moura, didn't they? And it is important. Maybe they'll buy in January. Who knows? I mean, if they're sitting third, I mean, if you're Pochettino and you get the money, you're going to need to buy somebody just in case, just to cover whether that's a midfielder or a forward.
They might even have the new stadium by Christmas.
Oh, imagine that. Yeah. I suppose not at Wembley. But Arsenal are the really exciting team for me. I think that if you want my league prediction, mm-hmm. it would be... I'm going to say us.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to say City.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to say Chelsea, and then I'm going to say Arsenal.
Yeah.
Because I think the way Arsenal play football has its faults, like any team does, but the way that I don't know if you watched the game, the Arsenal game, who they play? Huddersfield. So it looked like a draw game, 1-0, but they had about five golden clear-cut, should have scored. Lacazette did the keeper in a brilliant move that was wrongfully flagged for offside.
Mm-hmm.
And
the way that they can attack reminds us of last season, of us. So they have a pretty weak defence. I mean, they've got it's fine, but you've got the likes of Lichtsteiner.
It's an ageing defence, isn't it?
Yeah, and players in there that are old. And Leno, I don't really rate Leno. But then you've got players like Guendouzi, he's really bright. Torreira, that front two of Lacazette.
Torreira's
and
goal was incredible as well.
Yeah, it was lovely. That combination of Aubameyang and Lacazette is any 16-year-old's
dream.
Yeah,
he's found a formula there, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Unai Emery to get some...
But that's a team that any manager could have come into and been like, oh my, what a gold mine. Imagine having Lacazette and Aubameyang at your disposal. Like whether you've got a sort of a full escort of a back, you've got a Bugatti Veyron front, haven't you?
Exactly where we were.
Yeah.
Matic loving at the back and Mane Self-Mean up front.
And that's where I think Arsenal can do it. I think that if we did it,
yeah,
I think they've easily got a fantastic front three or four and a very strong enough midfield to do it. So I think Spurs and, of course, Man United lose out.
I'm fine with that. I'll tell you that. I agree with everything you said there. Arsenal are a bit of a surprise package for me in the sense that if you look back at last season and the whole Wenger out stuff, and he'd had enough, I think you alluded to it before when you said about that's where Man United are at now.
Yeah.
To turn it round so quickly and not, he hasn't really bought anyone, but like you said, he's found his like golden nugget and going, that's where my team's going to, get goals, but like that's my best performance side of the team.
Yeah.
And he's got a rapport with Lacazette and Aubameyang that they never had last season.
No.
So what he's done with them, I don't know. And then I think they need to overcompensate like we did by firing all cylinders, knowing that they might concede at the back, because in fact Lichtsteiner and Socrates have been pretty decent for me. I like Mustafi, not Mustafi. Who's the
Holden?
No, Klasinac.
The left back.
Yeah, I think he's decent as well. He's a bit aggressive. I think that's what Arsenal need. I mean, that's what Man United don't have as well. Actually, every time I look at their defence, I just think you're not Man United quality.
Man United have got a hole this big, a Virgil van Dijk size hole that they should have taken when they had the chance, and they won't get a centre back like that. The closest thing they could get to that is Koulibaly. Sort of a player that can come in and...
Yeah, but if you're an outside player, like we said...
They're not going to get him, I'll tell you for a fact. No. I mean, who is enticed by
Harry Maguire turned him down? He plays for Leicester.
£75 million, Harry Maguire. And he still said no, and that speaks volumes to the way you play. You can offer all the kit deals and all the brand deals and all of this is what we're going to do for your personal image, all you want. If you can't play football, no one's going to want to play for you.
No.
And that's the difference between Manchester United and Arsenal, is that Arsenal had... That both of them had terrible defences last season. And... Although, what's Arsenal's manager's name? I forgot.
Unai Emery.
Emery came in and he's like, okay, I can't go and buy that one man that's going to sort of change my whole midfield and my whole defence. He went and got two players that are aged, but they're very experienced, and he replaced his goalkeeper.
Mm.
And it completely changed the way, it didn't have to change the face of their defence, like our Virgil van Dijk has done to us, as one with Alisson. It just had to make it secure. It just had to make the players in front of
them
confident.
It's a building process, yeah.
And whereas Manchester United have instead bought nobody. So as a result, you've seen players like De Gea completely crumble in form, because it's a run-through effect. The way we go on about Van Dijk and Alisson have done wonders for the rest of our team. Imagine what it's like for these players. They've got nobody coming in to sit in front of them, and it must shoot their confidence every game.
I would love to live in a parallel universe where Man United don't have De Gea and see where they're at.
I mean, we are in the lovely, lovely ballpark now of saying Alisson saved us this amount of points in this game.
De Gea still does it for them.
I know he
made a mistake last week, didn't he?
Yeah, but it's goalkeepers, isn't it? But you go back to last season, the season before, he was literally saving them 17, 18 points a season. I mean, they did a graph of where they should be, and it was like eighth because of his performances. And it's showing now that he's... I mean, if he was on top form and they had a strong defence, they would be nowhere near where they are now. But it just shows... It goes back to the point of... I don't think the team believe in the style of play anymore.
No.
But...
It's nice
does.
To watch, isn't it?
It's lovely to watch. And like I say, that's where Arsenal and Manchester United differ.
Just a quick word on Man City then. First of all, I know we've spoken about it on other shows, but, and we said it before, if this time our season the league was done, if you're Man City, what are you thinking about Liverpool being on top? Yeah, I was going to say breathing down your necks, but being on top and playing... I don't think we've been playing crap, just a different style of football, but not as gung-ho as they are. Still getting results, still winning.
They're literally, every time they win a game, it is literally shit. Like, they are so scared. Like, because all the pressure's on them.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to do it twice in a row is so difficult. But they've been lauded as this greatest team of the Premier League era, this is the greatest team in Europe. I mean, if you're carrying that pressure and you lose into... and it's what, so going back to the, what happened with the final, what happened on the match build-up, to me, it is so much like in 300, where there's Leonidas and they're attacking Xerxes and his army. And Xerxes is there as his all-powerful god, sort of, he thinks he's above mankind. And Leonidas throws a spear at him, and it doesn't kill him, it just grazes his cheek, but it shows him that he can bleed. And it makes him, it shows him that he's human, yeah. And he's like, and he's bewildered. He's like, I'm not this god man that I thought I was. And it's the same with Man City. Manchester City fans were like, how have we lost? How have we lost to City? As if it's not obvious. Like, yeah. You look at Leon.
You don't have a right to win a fucking game.
You don't have a right to win every. And that's the sense of entitlement that's come from Manchester City. And it's like, you've got a great team, you've got a great manager, blah, 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 blah. We know it. Mm. But at the end of the day, as soon as you're attacked like Leon have, as soon as you attack like Chelsea have, as soon as a team come out and don't respect you the way you think you deserve respect,
yeah.
It completely shows. And they crumbled against Chelsea. And it went to show, like, you look at any Manchester City fan page, I'm not going to promote any of them because they're all terrible.
Okay.
But you look at any Manchester City fan page, they're all, why Liverpool here? Why won't they just go away? Because they're scared.
I saw that, yeah.
They're just scared because they want to be walking the league because they don't want the pressure.
Because that's what they're used to.
Yeah, they don't want to be challenged by another football team because they think, we've put enough money into it here, we deserve this. Like, how much money do you have to put in? It's, bottom of the line is, you did walk it last season. But we've invested smartly, we've been patient, and we're ready now. We're really ready to challenge. And I think after the Chelsea game and the way the table looks now, I think they realise it too.
Yeah, yeah. It's only 16 games in and nothing's been won, but it's far more exciting than last season. So have, even like you said, Spurs, Chelsea, Arsenal, potentially in the mix for it, rather than it just being done.
It's the way the league should be.
Yeah, exactly. It was a bit boring last year, wasn't it? City have the better squad in my mind. But do you think they'll be challenging for more? Because it was last season, was the fact they were going to do the quadruple. Is that right?
Yeah, they went for the FA Cup, League Cup, yeah. Champs and League. Yeah, but I mean, me, Lauren and Andy had a really interesting conversation upstairs. Is when you look at the way they played against Chelsea, so they played Sterling as their striker.
Mm-hmm.
Sané was awful. He offered nothing.
He got taken off, didn't he?
He got taken off.
Aguero's injured.
Aguero's, that's the crux of the argument we're going to get to is, I think that, say if they lose another game before January, before we play them, say they lose or they draw another game, and that gap grows just a bit, maybe it grows by a point, 2 points, they're going to have to buy someone in January because they're building their team on a player that is coming from playing really, really good football, and then he gets injured for a while, and then he plays really good football. And you had Jesus, who was, when he first came in, he was a good player, and he sort of got goals for them, but he's not been about lately. He's not doing the goals for Brazil, he's not doing the goals for City. If I was a City fan, I'd be worried. Because you can go on about your incredible front three, and it is good on its day, the same as ours is. But the thing is, I don't think that they are prepared for sort of a long-standing spell without Aguero. And
no.
I think
it's mad that, as you just said, that when you're a Liverpool fan and you look at like the fixtures that are coming up,
yeah. You
kind of think, with a lot of football there, and you kind of plan of like, you look at your squad and who you're going to play.
The contingency plan for all the games.
You're going to drop, but yeah, in your own mind as a fan.
Yeah.
But I never once thought about everyone else is in the same boat.
Yeah.
Man City have got 3-4 injuries. The style of football that they play,
mm-hmm.
The press that they play.
They missed the free throws.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so they must be running on legs.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's legs.
It's running on legs, like everyone else.
They are definitely running on legs. But they, it goes back to the whole point of I think this was a wake-up call, because I tweeted out that it felt like the league really geared up a level, because I think they took a step back and looked at themselves like, we're not this immortal person that we think we are. And I think it shows. I mean, you talked about, obviously, have they got the legs to challenge on two fronts? Of course, the same way we have. But they've been beaten in Europe. We've been beaten in Europe. They're two different breeds at this point.
Have we been beaten in the league?
No,
have they?
Not, Ross.
It's just on the table.
Ooh.
No. I mean, it's not actually on that sheet of paper, but
I was going to say, I was like, played goal difference points. But yes, they lost 2-0 to Chelsea. I'd like to remember, just bring that
up. To be fair, the first half, they batted Chelsea. And got done on against the run of play.
Yeah, but
which I'm also fine with, by the way.
Yeah, such as football.
I found that hard to watch because I wasn't really cheering for Chelsea because I fucking hate them.
It was, because this was funny, because it's literally like, it's such a strange spectacle to watch. Like, just looking at their chants, it's literally like Chelsea yeah. Against come on City, come on. And it's like two robots fighting each other. There's no personality, no charisma, nothing. It's just sort of like, you've pumped shitloads of money into two robots that are like real steel. Yeah. And you just got two robots fighting. And
it's movie references today, Bailey.
Well, if you sack Benoff, then you'll get a much better show, I'm just saying.
Lauren, anything to say on that? Amy?
I'm joking, Ben. I really appreciate
he's
it.
He's too busy with his multiple jobs and union birthday. Selfish prick.
Scum.
Point talking, we love you, Ben. Next, then, well, I was going to look ahead to the Christmas fixtures, but then I realised how fucking many fixtures are out between then, so me and Ben will do that next week.
Mm-hmm.
Liverpool versus United coming up. So I mentioned it before, for me it's the biggest game in football.
Yep.
One, how do you see it going? Mourinho's record at Anfield against top six is superb. They always seem to get a result. So yeah, I think you actually mentioned it before. If Liverpool are not on fire, but the top of the league, the business. Look at United, we already explained, shite. Yep. Irrelevant when it comes to yep. this game.
Yeah.
And part of me, it's like, I shouldn't think it. I was just thinking, they're going to play... We're going to park the bus, not be interested in the fucking game. Fellaini will come on with his skinhead, I'll elbow someone in the face, and Lukaku will score off his arse.
But that's it. Like, as much
I
as
don't
want to
have
laugh,
that negative mindset.
As much as you want to laugh, that is exactly what's going to happen. And it's literally like, why have we got to play him now? Why is it set us up to fall so nicely? Like, we're all celebrating at the weekend saying, yeah, City have lost. Finally, we're the only team left unbeaten. Then we've got to go into play a must win in the Champions League against Napoli, and then a must win against right. United.
I also don't want them to take this record off us of not being beaten yet, and we get beat by United and it's gone. It's like, for fuck's sake.
If we lose that game, I will delete Twitter, I think. Yeah. Because I will. It doesn't matter how shit they are. It doesn't matter that they're sixth and they're battling Bournemouth for their position in the league. They will hold this above us for the rest of this year. And I don't mean just 2018, I mean
that also
the season.
That also says a lot about their mindset, the fact that Man United fans would be happy that they beat us.
Yeah.
But are still sixth in the table.
Yeah, I mean, you look at like the Everton and Manchester United and Manchester City sort of collab almost. Mm. It's sort of like Everton don't want us to win.
Yeah.
Manchester United don't want us to win, so they're in unison there.
Yeah.
And then Manchester City is saying to Manchester United, do us a favour.
Yeah.
So all the rivalries go out the window because there's some massive sort of...
He's got agendas for everyone.
Agenda against yeah. Liverpool. And it's like... It would be the biggest testament to our season to win. Yeah. I mean, if we can come out and we all know he's going to play, we know he's going to try and shit out his way through the game, even if he tries to give us a game, fair play, whatever. But we know that Mourinho is Mourinho and he's always been the same guy, especially his worst traits come out against Liverpool. And if we can literally stand, if we can stand up to that man and say,
we're fuck a different off Mourinho.
Fuck you, Mourinho, and say we're a different breed now. We're long since the days of exposing Lovren and Trent at the back. Like, we're a unit now. We can properly work as a team.
Yeah.
we've got a proper defence that you don't have. And I think the way that we've changed in terms of the way we line up, like I say, there's three different formations we can play. We know how to break teams down that want to low block, teams that probably can low block better than Manchester United can, considering the amount of goals that they've leaked this season.
Yeah, yeah.
The way that this would be, even if we beat it against Napoli, I think that this Manchester United game would be the biggest game of the season.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, it's a big week, isn't it?
It is a big week.
That's what happens when you're fighting on...
And it just happens to be Freeview week in the same time.
Oh, shit. Well plugged.
There you go.
You should do marketing.
That's actually, a joke, because me and Ross both do marketing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is Freeview week, so if you're listening or watching this, this is free, as is all the other content from this week, which is a double bonus because there's two games, which means double the content.
You're so lucky, all of you.
What could you want? And if you want even more content, you can do your free month.
Yes, you
should
can.
Do this every week. Me and Ben are going to do this. It's fine. What are we on, Lauren?
46.
Right, then quickly, we discussed the top so far. Mm-hmm. I feel like we don't talk about the bottom enough.
Oh, I love talking about the bottom, Ross.
See what you did there. It's funny. Ben's never coming back on this now. made a rude joke. So similar to discussed before about who's going to finish top 4, 5, 6 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Equally, at the bottom, if you go below, say, 13th Watford, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams there, I think, are all capable of being in the shit.
This is such a shit show down here, isn't it?
There is possibly a caveat in that if Mike Ashley sells Newcastle, because it's been rumoured that he wants to do it before January, to get someone in with a bit of money to back Rafa. Otherwise, fantastic. I think they're up shit creek. Burnley are another one. I think I mentioned to you before, I've got a mate who's a Burnley fan.
Mm-hmm.
in uni and he's been dished out. He's just like, I don't understand that mindset because I don't know who else you'd get in, but I don't understand how it's gone how so horribly wrong for him.
Probably eventually.
Okay, I can see him there. We'd have to change hotel though. If you just take a guess now, out of those, who's going?
Definitely Fulham.
Yeah,
I think Fulham's a dead cert. I mean,
Fulham have spent a lot of money as well. They spent £100 million, the same as Wolves.
It feels like you're just throwing shit at the wall and open it six, isn't it? At that point, because it's. I mean, we did it.
My favourite hobby.
Suarez. We did it. Spurs did it when they sold Bale.
Yeah.
Throwing a load of money into four or five different players does not equal anything. It's just poor investment.
-24 goal difference as well. It's just a disgrace.
It's mental. Like, I mean, I think Fulham are a dead cert to go down, and you can't blame them. Like when you watch Fulham, like when Fulham play Huddersfield, it looks like a championship game. Like it's like, why is this on BT? It should be on Channel 5.
Yeah.
Like this is, no one's enjoying this football. Newcastle, I really like. I really hope that, mainly because I made the mistake of putting like two or three of their players in my.
Oh yeah, I put Lascelles in my fantasy. Yeah, check that for ages.
Hosselu as my striker.
Yeah,
I swapped him out for Felipe Anderson, and he's been doing bits. So it's fine. Newcastle, I hope they do. They sell it because I think they are worth way more than.
If they don't. The Fox, because I think I don't know if Rafa will
leave. Rafa won't stay. No, he won't stay. And it's looking like dark days for them because it's like they've done the championship and it might just end up being that whole sort of like you go down, you come back up, you go down.
Yo-yo.
It's miserable, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a yo-yo.
Fulham, Southampton. Southampton for me. Southampton's fucking terrible.
I just don't care for them anymore.
So they sat Mark Hughes and they got someone else in. Which I haven't researched. They've got a new manager.
Do they have any players that we can steal?
I think we're done with that, I think we're shopping at a different bracket now.
Are we?
Southampton's
Southampton were like the Lidl Aldi.
Yeah. I was going to go B&M's, but yeah. Now we're at Waitrose now, mate.
We're at M&S. Andy's on the checkout.
Yeah. Not just any centre half. This is a handcrafted, Dutch, bearded, beautiful, chiselled man.
Call me Virgil.
But no.
Anyway. Right, pick one more then, because we'll use this against
Newcastle, no. Palace, no. Burnley, no. So it's between Cardiff and Huddersfield.
I suppose I'll blow Palace, where they had a good start to the season, didn't they?
Yeah, they've got enough quality, especially Zaha signed a 4 or 5 year deal at the start of this year, so he'll come good.
I think I want it to be Burnley or Cardiff, and I don't know if that's because I just don't like Neil Warnock.
Or you just don't like your mate.
Who?
Your Burnley mate. You just want to see him cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cardiff.
Yeah, actually, there. And that in-between is thing, Burnley can fuck off, so.
Yeah, well, we can all agree that I've Burnley can fuck off.
So Burnley, Southampton, Fulham?
Yep.
Okay, but it's the same thing, okay. I think we'll wrap it up there. That was
lovely. You've taken my around the league virginity.
I will use that at some point in the future. I don't know what to do with it right now. Did we do the third teaser?
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah, I think so.
What was it?
I think we bottled the last one.
What was the last one?
The teapot one.
Oh, yeah.
The teapot one, Ross.
Yeah, teapot, which is two words.
Go on.
Yeah, go on then. We've got some time to kill.
You can hold it without using your hands or your arms.
Your breath.
You are?
Your breath. So do you get this electric, quickfire knowledge from Ben Kelly?
It's so fragile, even just saying its name.
Silence.
Right, on that note, Bailey, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Ross.
I think it might be me and Ben next week. I don't know if he's...
If he could be after show.
He
might have another birthday.
His standards have slipped, yeah. I don't think it's even his birthday. I think he just made it up. I think he just wanted a day off.
Yeah. Probably have Christmas in a couple of weeks, won't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then New Year, something or other. Just
sort it out,
come
Ben.
Up,
all right.
What is he now? 13, 14, Ben, now?
Yeah. Spider-Man cake.
Yeah. Oh, well, bless him. So Ben's off school next week. He'll be in with me. If not, thank you very much for watching. Don't forget to watch all the other content on the website while you're here. If you're watching this on YouTube, go over to the website and go and fill your boots with interviews with Jurgen Klopp. I know you took the piss out of it before, but Lucas Leiva's over there as well. There's absolutely loads over there. So if you get.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.